From the Farm Progress Show in Decatur, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 26th day of August, 2019. I'm Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Kurt Kimmel. He's at Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. I'll update you on all the goings-on that are happening here at the Farm Progress Show and the expectation, I hope, that you'll join me in the University of Illinois tent. That's right inside the main gates of the Farm Progress Show. And to the right, we're at the corner really of West Street and right near 4th and 3rd. So it's really simple to get to. Also today, we'll talk about the weather forecast. Mark Russo of Risk Pulse out of Chicago, Illinois should join us on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Here are the settlement prices from the CME Group in Chicago. September corn today down a penny and a quarter. It finished at $3.58 a bushel. December at $3.68 1/4. Half of a cent higher in the March at $3.80 1/2. Up a half. July $3.95 3/4. A half cent higher. September soybeans up 10.5 cents. Settled at $8.53 3/4. November at $8.67 1/4. Up 10 3/4. And January futures $8.80 1/2 cents, up 9 1/4. Next year's July at $9.14 3/4, 6.5 higher. Bean oil down a penny, the bean meal up $3.10 for the day. Wheat futures soft red. It's finished at $4.73, down 2 1/4 in the September. Day hard red at September, $3.89, down 2.5 cents. Live cattle futures in Chicago, the August contract up 85 cents at $105.47 1/2. October at $101, up $1.60. Feeder cattle in the October at $138.65, $1.30 higher. September at $2.75 higher, $136 the settlement price. And lean hogs for the day, up $4.50 at $63.80. The Dow Jones Industrial Average about 114 points higher for the day. The U.S. dollar up 0.38, and the gold futures on the afternoon about a dime higher at $1,526.50. Crude oil trading 54 cents a barrel lower. The ethanol futures at $1.29 1/2, or about 2 2/10 cents lower. And heating oil or diesel fuel is down 2 4/10 cents at $1.79. Gasoline on the RBOB 3 cents lower at $1.61 2/10 cents. That's the wholesale price for the day. And the natural gas at $2.23 1/10 cents. That's 7 9/10 cents higher for this Monday afternoon. Kurt Kimmel of Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois, now joins us to take a look at what's happening in Chicago on this Monday. Thanks for joining us a bit early today, Kurt, as I'm out at the Farm Progress Show setting up today. And I know I'm looking forward to doing Commodity Week live on the stage with you and Wayne Nelson and a whole other bunch of folks on that day, including Merrill Crowley and Bill Mayer. So it should be a lot of fun. I'm glad you're going to be able to make it out.
Looking forward to it, Todd. That's always a great event to participate at, and looks like Thursday might be the best weather day to be there.
Yeah, it does look like it might be the best weather day. We had a little rain shower come through over the noon hour here, and it's gotten wet, but boy, people are working hard and fast, and things have changed since I arrived here. Oh, I don't know, about 8:30 this morning, and it's starting to look like a Farm Progress Show for sure. It was pretty much a Farm Progress Show when I came in, but there is a lot that has happened since then, and I know people can come out here on Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday and visit with us and see a whole lot of machinery, and they'll have a whole lot to talk about as well, because we've got so many things that are happening in agriculture, especially in trade. Can you give me an idea what this Monday trade looks like after the weekend and Friday and Mr. Trump tweeting and then talking to the Chinese, and what's really going on?
Oh boy, it's just an emotional roller coaster, as you can imagine. Went home Friday with the tail between our legs, if you're kind of trying to be optimistic with all this tariff talk and China coming in, then Trump coming back in. And but Sunday night had just had a whole different feel to it. We basically heard that the administration and the Japanese have come to a conclusion of working something out and signing something here in about a month, And it involved U.S. meat and U.S. grain, and that was the supporting feature. Then also, too, we saw that there was talk that possibly China wants to get back and cut a trade deal, but we've heard that for about the last year, year and a half, and whether that's true or not, we're just going to have to wait and see. But yeah, this Chinese trade war has been hanging over the marketplace, and the market's now at levels where it's extremely oversold, and we've priced a lot of that news in, and we're ready for some positive news. What I think also kind of helped out a little bit was basically the pro farmer crop tour coming in and lowering the production prospects slightly. You know, that's not incredibly bullish, but I think it's beneficial to say, hey, now wait a minute here. We got some weather still in front of us. If this weather doesn't cooperate, we could have a little tighter situation. If you take the pro farmer's production numbers, plug it into the current supply-demand balance sheet, corn could get as tight as 1.6 billion bushels and beans down maybe 570 million bushel carryout for beans. That's still a large amount, but that's the lowest amount we've seen in the last 2 years. So we're at levels here where we can hopefully stabilize here for a while, Todd.
What does the market think about the weather? Because we do have a little rain around.
It's going to help this later crop, no doubt about it. But off talk to guys, it's probably a little too late. You know, some of these plants are starting to shut down in some areas, but that's another moving part. But two, weather-wise, as you look forward here, we've got a cold forecast as we go forward. It's not frost-freeze just yet, but it's cold. There's ideas that this full moon around the 15th, 16th, middle of the month, that could usher some freezing temperatures or frosty conditions to the upper one-third of the Midwest. So we'll have to continue to watch that. Then a little bit longer term, we had a volcanic eruption occur. Oftentimes that has a tendency to mess with the weather. So weather is in front of us. It's going to be quite interesting to see how that unfolds. One other observation, too, if you look over the years here, Todd, oftentimes this last week of August, as we go into September deliveries, we often record a price low. So once we get this elevator business out of the way, the deliveries out of the way, maybe next week here we could see a little bit more optimism.
Yeah, I was thinking about that over the weekend. I'm certain that most producers who have stored corn are thinking about it as well, because they have to make a decision at this point, if they already haven't, as to whether they're going to suffer through another in charge or not. Any indication of whether they should or should not?
They're all in, Todd. They're all in. The heck with these other whatever. We're all in. I'd say 90% of the guys we visit with are going to pay that in charge, see what happens. Those who have given up some ownership due to good basis or a good opportunity to move it, they've replaced it with the idea we'll try to recoup something up to the upside here as we go into this fall and winter.
Now, as you can probably hear in the background, there's a lot going on here on the Farm Progress Show, and I've been pretty busy putting the stage together, so I did not pay a lot of attention. Have there been any new details about the trade situation with Japan other than what we saw from Trade Representative Lighthizer about opening up $7 billion worth of trade? And it wasn't clear to me whether that was an additional $7 billion on top of the $14 billion we already do. And the Japanese are the third largest market for agricultural commodities from the U.S., or whether it was just making sure that that $7 billion was going to be able to trade cost-effectively with the producers that are in Europe and that have also joined the new CPTPP.
Yeah, I've not seen anything new on that or clarification on that as of yet going into midday and through here. But yeah, Japan's right there, the second largest, and then we got Mexico to our south. So this trade issue and trade agreements need to be worked out and get everybody on the same page in through here. So it is welcome news, and hopefully we'll hear some more here as we go forward.
Well, we'll find out as we go forward. What do we expect from this afternoon's USDA weekly crop progress report?
Actually, the intentions or ideas are that the crop could improve about 1%. Corn, the average guess, is about 57% good to excellent versus 56% last week. Soybeans 54% good to excellent versus 53% good to excellent last week, but that's not a dramatic move, up 1%, down 1%. So it's pretty well, fairly well dialed in, and I don't know if we're going to see a whole lot of change here. The trend is, as you get into mid-September, conditions do deteriorate because the crop matures, so we'll see how the trade handles that.
You mentioned early on that livestock were having a good day, in large part because of the talk of the trade agreements over the weekend from the G7, especially with Japan. As we close out the day, and you and I are talking before that happens, it looks like they've had a pretty good day. Tell me more about that.
Oh, huge day, huge day. My gosh, going home Friday, lock limit down, and now we're in the expandable limits to the upside on hogs. October hogs are up over 450. They're at 63.80, and the fat's up $1.72. So a reversal of fortunes there. That's huge. Opening up some meat to Japan is great. Japanese, they like that beef. They feed it that cracked corn and massage that old steer. And, man, that's good beef, I hear. I can't afford to buy it, but hopefully they'll want some of our corn to feed those steers and give that old steer a massage.
Hey, thanks so much, and looking forward to having you here on Thursday.
Great time to be there, Todd. Looking forward to it.
Me too. That's Kurt Kimmelees with Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. He joins us on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media, and he will be one of a whole series of our regular brokers that will help us out at the Farm Progress Show all week right here in Decatur, Illinois. I sure do hope that you drop by. In fact, we'll record Commodity Week live on Thursday afternoon with our panel of analysts, including Kurt Kimmel from Bates Commodities, Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities, Merrill Crowley of Midwest Market Solutions, and Bill Mayer from Strategic Farm Marketing, and special guest up on stage. And this all happened right there in the Illinois tent on the Farm Progress Show site. Eric Snodgrass of Nutrien Ag Solutions and Agrible. They're five of the folks that will be with us. Let me give you the lineup for tomorrow, because we have a great day to kick things off, and you can find all of this on our website at willag.org in the calendar. In the morning, we'll talk about women in agriculture starting at 9 o'clock on the stage, and then at 10 o'clock, Orion Samuelson will be here. He does this each and every Farm Progress Show in the Illinois tent right here in Decatur, and he'll have guests like Emerson Nafziger, Extension Agronomist from the U of I. Nick Paulson will be here to talk about all kinds of things that have been happening in Washington, D.C. Nick spent some time out there. He's an agricultural economist and part of the Farm Doc team. The corn growers will be with us. Bruce Sherrick will be here to talk about the price of farmland. Dave Chatterton, who is with Strategic Farm Marketing, will join us up on stage to discuss what's happening in the market, along with Jerry Golke of the Golke Group and the folks at the Illinois Soybean Association. That's just in the 9 and the 10 o'clock hour here on the U of I's tent site. Farm Progress Show at 11 o'clock hour. We'll record a podcast. If you've listened to the nutrient loss reduction strategy, that'll take place live, along with Laura Gentry, who is at the Illinois Corn Growers Association, and a whole bunch of other folks to talk about NLRS and cover crops and what we've been up to in that case. And then at noon, we'll have a special Friend of ACES Award, along with the Farm Doc team on stage. Nick Paulson will be here again, Bruce Sherrick and Scott Irwin. The farm business, farm management folks, Brad Zwilling will be up at 1 o'clock, and then 2 o'clock in the afternoon, I will do the Closing Market Report live on stage. Now, different program for you on air, but on stage, listen to the lineup here. Jenny Jackson, who is with the Illinois Pork Producers, will be here. The Corn Growers will be here. Brad Zwilling from FBFM, Bryce Anderson from DTN, Bryce Knorr from Farm Futures, Dan Schaefer from the Illinois Fertilizer and Chemical Association, Jerry Goodell will be here, Dale Durkles will be here, along with Scott Irwin, Teresa Seckler, and Aaron Johnson. Aaron is the Executive Vice President of Farm Credit Illinois. Should be a great day, and our stage is going to be that busy on Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday at the Farm Progress Show in Decatur, Illinois. Please come out and visit us. We're really easy to find when you come in the main gate, or just to the right, at about a block and a half. We're between 3rd and 4th Streets on West Avenue. So I hope that you'll come and visit us at the Farm Progress Show this week. Yes. Let's turn our attention now to the weather forecast. Mark Russo is here. He's with Risk Pulse out of Chicago, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Mark. Thanks for being with us.
Yeah, glad to be here, Todd. Thanks for the invitation.
Okay, so I'm going to run you through your paces really quickly, not on the Midwest and the Corn Belt, but because Farm Progress Show is taking place in Decatur, I'd like to know what the weather is going to be like tonight because, well, tomorrow morning there will be a lot of cars coming into the site. And it's been a little wet here today, and then we'll talk about maybe Wednesday and Thursday. So how about tonight and tomorrow for Farm Progress Show in Decatur? What do you see?
Well, Todd, looking out here from now through the end of the day tomorrow, there still is going to be some chances of rain as this storm system here continues to produce scattered showers and storms across Illinois, let alone much of the central and eastern U.S. And so as we get into really it's through the afternoon tomorrow is where actually the chances of rain actually start to decrease. So the main probability, the highest probability, is from now through early tomorrow morning. But after that, looks like things begin to decrease in terms of probabilities for rain, and then ultimately dry conditions then through Tuesday night, all day Wednesday, and looks like all day Thursday as well.
Yeah, so detail tomorrow for me a little bit. In terms of temperature, there'll be some rainfall, and then we'll talk about Wednesday and Thursday again.
Yeah, specifically for tomorrow, looks like morning temperatures, minimum temperatures, right around 6, 7 a.m. will be in the upper 60s, low 70s, and then warming up to right around 79, 80 degrees during the afternoon hours. We're also going to be seeing winds increase, and then that will also, what we're going to see here with the winds, that will be ushering in cooler temperatures, which then actually for Wednesday and on into Thursday, talking about just high temperatures only in the mid to upper 70s.
Wow. So, and sunshine on those 2 days, too. So they should be gorgeous here, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Looking like a really nice stretch here. Good timing here with the farm
you
show.
You bet. So tell me about that cold front, I assume, that's coming in. From which direction and who gets temperatures when?
Yeah, with the cooler air coming in, again, this is associated with this trough of low pressure that is amplifying across the central U.S. It's not overly amplified or anything that extreme, but it will produce several days here of unseasonably cool temperatures across actually much of the central U.S. This is not at all means the start of any kind of unseasonably cool pattern across the Midwest. And in fact, looking out here towards the end of this week and on into next week, temperatures return to more normal levels. And so this is just part of what really is just a variable temperature pattern across much of the central and eastern U.S. and not the start of any kind of major cold pattern evolving.
Well, tell me a bit more about that, because I know you've been watching the climatology of August and September and October, probably been getting a lot of questions about that as well. What do we know about those months and what this year looks like?
Oh, well, first off, just looking at as we look out ahead through really the end of September, we do not anticipate any kind of early freeze across the Midwest Corn Belt here. In fact, we think the odds compared to climatology are below climatology. We're just not seeing any signals in either the tropics or up in the higher latitudes that would begin to force a pattern that, again, would bring in much colder air and keep it going there, which usually those are the kinds of freezes when you have subsequent Canadian or Arctic air masses coming in, which tend to produce the very cold temperatures. And just speaking from a climatological standpoint, even just from a climatological risk throughout from now through the end of September, it is pretty rare for there to be a freeze across the Corn Belt. Now, in sections of the Corn Belt, particularly the far northwestern belt in and around the eastern Dakotas, it's kind of centered around Fargo, that is an area where historically during the month of September, there have been instances of freezes. But you have to go back, and in fact, going back into the 1980s and 1990s, that's when the frequency of those freezes were actually, you know, quite high, and there were freezes almost every year. Fast forward to the past couple of decades, and actually that frequency has decreased. Like, for example, in Fargo, North Dakota, well, last year actually saw 2 days with temperatures below freezing, and that was in late September. Before that, you have to go back to 2012 and then 2011, and then there was actually 7 years that didn't even see a freeze in Fargo during the month of September. As you move away from Fargo towards Minneapolis and then down through, you know, Illinois, in Indiana and Ohio, the last time that there was any kind of like significant freeze, you have to go back to 2000 in the Minneapolis area when the temperature dropped below freezing during the month of September. So again, even with that, to us, it feels like it has to be just a real extreme and perfect scenario for there to be any kind of, you know, significant freeze for next month.
I know you keep an eye on the rest of the world as well. Is there anything across the planet that we should be watching out for, or does everything else look fairly calm at this time?
It is fairly quiet. There are still a few areas still to watch. Well, one of which is Australia, which we've been monitoring in terms of with winter wheat development now, and still some dryness struggles for especially the eastern wheat crop in Australia, and no sign of that improving. We also have to keep an eye on the Black Sea region, as they've now entered a warmer, drier pattern, which bears watching for upcoming winter crop planting there, likely too late to have any kind of impact on their summer crops. But that's another area to keep an eye on. And then there's been some dryness in portions of South America, namely Argentina and southern Brazil, but it's too early to get any concern, to be concerned there. And there's actually some relief via rain coming up, especially for southern Brazil, as we move through the next couple of weeks.
Hey, thanks so much, Mark. I appreciate you taking the time and detailing so much about the fall months here in the United States. I appreciate that.
Yeah, you're very welcome, Todd.
Mark Russo is with Risk Pulse out of Chicago, Illinois. Closing Mark Report is a production of Illinois Public Media. Find us online at willag.org, willag.org. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, coming to you today from the Farm Progress Show site in Decatur. I hope you'll come and visit us tomorrow, Wednesday, and Thursday.